Welcome to the Urology Coding and Reimbursement Podcast, where we help urologists and staff achieve peak economic and practice efficiency so there is time and energy to focus on patient care and a happy life. I'm your host, Scott Painter, with my co-hosts, Mark Painter and Dr. Ray Painter.
Today's episode is brought to you by ModMed. Do your EHR and PM adapt to your style of practice? The ModMed EHR and PM do, with benefits like remembering preferences and automatically suggesting documentation and billing codes. Urologists voted ModMed the number one urology-specific EHR and PM solution available, built by urologists with input from yours truly. Stop wasting 60 minutes and 200 for each of your open or no-show slot. Go to modmed.com/PRSnetwork. Set up an appointment with the team at ModMed Urology and shift your urology practice into high gear. Imagine a solution on a tablet or the web that works seamlessly with revenue cycle management, analytics, telehealth, payment processing, patient engagement tools, and much more. ModMed is transforming healthcare by placing doctors and patients at the center of care.
Welcome to episode 162 of the Urology Coding and Reimbursement Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Painter, with my co-hosts Mark Painter and Dr. Ray Painter. And on today's episode, we want to discuss targeted probe and educate, or TPE, and recovery audit contractor, or RAC audits. So we want to discuss those two audits and what they mean. So we've had a little increase, and we had some of our clients get these. So we want to talk about that and see if we can clarify what these are and what you need to look out for. Mark, you want to share what you got about these two?
Sure. So the first thing I'd like to share is the reason we're bringing up these topics is because we're seeing a fair amount of activity across the country. And these are two totally different types of reviews. But both require that you respond and really take a look at what's going on. I just kind of wanted to walk through these things so that if you get some of these requests, and again, we're seeing a fair number of them, that you respond to them. So I'm going to talk TPEs first, the targeted probe and educates. So TPEs, are basically set up, and it's kind of interesting if you go through all of this, these actually started in home health care. And then Medicare has kind of, and they were directed to start this within home health. And then they kind of crosswalked this into every different aspect of Medicare, Part A and Part B. And again, we're going to talk predominantly about Part A. The overall conclusion they had when they started this out in home health is that it actually helped the billing get cleaner once they gave providers education. And it was a lot easier to do it in a more friendly environment than it was on the RAC side of the equation. Because in the RAC side, that's, you know, we're now into the recoup and potential punitive side of things. And the individuals, the groups that are set up to do TPEs are really within the max. And if you remember how Medicare is set up, so Medicare contracts with the audit the Medicare administrative contractors to actually administer the program. So they're the ones that process the claims, and they are charged with making sure that they actually pay claims correctly. RACs are outside of the MACs. They're totally different entities. So again, going back to the TPEs, and I'll try and stick on TPEs now, and hopefully we can keep this all straight. So the Medicare administrative contractors are asked to keep an eye on how they pay you. And for the most part, if the claim fits the adjudication protocols, meaning you've used the right modifiers or there aren't any bundling edits in place for particular procedure combinations, or they're looking at your, maybe your E&M code spread is a little different than everyone else, or you're billing E&M services with every injections. So those are situations where the Medicare administrative contractor is essentially potentially losing a little bit of money each time they pay incorrectly. And so what Medicare set up was this targeted probe and educate, or ask the MACs to go through and look at statistically how people are billing. And if they identify an area where an individual, and it doesn't have to be a whole practice, they can look at, and typically they do look at a single physician for these, and that physician's coding pattern really falls way outside the norm. Then what the MAC does is they send you a letter that says you've been chosen for the TPE, and the MAC will contact you and ask you for some specific claims. So they give you a little bit of a warning, and then you're supposed to respond to that. And once you the MAC then goes back and then turns around and sends you a request, typically for about 20 charts in the first round of TPE, that usually, and what I've seen so far in every case, is targeted to a specific issue. Because again, what they're trying to do is educate the individuals on how they're supposed to bill for various services they submit to Medicare. So it may be something like all of the claims are, or 20 different encounters where you provided an injection and you billed a 99214 or a 99213. So an E&M code and an injection. So they'll ask you for 20 charts that have that combination. Now, before you submit those codes or that information to Medicare, you do want to review it and see what you think. Did you do the right thing? Is there something going on? But go ahead and submit the codes. You're in this TPE, and the good news about a TPE is that it is supposed to be a friendly review, targeted probe and educate. So it's supposed to be educational. So then Medicare will review those claims, and they will provide you the feedback. If everything looks good, then you're done. And that individual can't be targeted for another TPE for at least 1 year on that topic. So they've got some restrictions on some of this. There's some of this that as these TPEs have elevated with particular groups, that there's some legal questions as to whether or not this whole program actually is within the bounds of what the MACs are supposed to do. But what I'm seeing is you should at least comply at this point in time, and maybe somewhere down the road we'll have somebody take action that stops some of these. But once they review them, they're supposed to come back to you if they've found out that you've done something incorrectly, and they are supposed to then do a one-on-one with you and the individual physician and tell you what was done incorrectly or what needs to be improved. Once that encounter occurs, you have 45 days to make those changes that Medicare has recommended. Then they are going to come back and pull another 20 to 40 charts to see how you did. And if you've improved, they can stop. If you've improved somewhat, but not to the level, the target error rate they're looking for, and they don't specify that. Although if we look at it from kind of where the OIG is targeting, they're looking for about a 95% success rate or accuracy rate. So once they do that second round, if you improve to their acceptable standards, they can stop the TPE at the second round, or they can go to the third round where they once again pull another 20 to 40 charts to see if you've improved after a second 45-day period for which you are supposed to make changes. If you still don't make changes, or your error rate is still high for the target, probe, and educate on the third review process, then they are obligated to turn you in to a higher level of CMS, and then CMS may or may not take action based on that. That could be, CMS could put you on a total prepayment review. They could do an extrapolation recovery. They could send you to a recovery auditor, and they could, in some instances, actually try and exclude you from Medicare or put you under the review of an IRO or an independent review organization under an integrity agreement with Medicare. So that third level fail is a big one. That's where you start to get in trouble. So the first round, ultimately, especially if you're doing things correctly, shouldn't be an issue. The second round, if you make those changes that are recommended, if they make sense, then you're going to be fine. Now, the other part of this is you do have appeal processes, and as we all know, Medicare is not perfect. So if you submit things in the first round and Medicare comes back with decisions that you do not feel are correct, you can push an appeal back, and the appeal process is the same as a standard appeal. So you can go, you know, first round, second round, and all the way up to the ALJ. So there's multiple rounds of appeal that you can go through, but it doesn't necessarily start that or stop that TPE process as you're moving forward. So in the end, it's a little bit scary, even though it's a friendly situation. The other thing that ultimately you do need to consider, if you look at the information that is requested or the target of the probe and you find out that you've done something incorrectly, you can start making changes right away. And you should start making changes right away. Let's say you found out that one of your templates was kicking out the wrong set of codes. You absolutely should, at that point in time, not wait for the MAC review, but actually make the template changes so that you're doing things correctly. And the second thing is, now that you've discovered that you have a problem, that you've been submitting codes incorrectly, the rule is you have 60 days once you discover something that is incorrect to self-report. And it is smart at that point in time and highly recommended that you go ahead and self-report. Find a reasonable start point from when that error was occurring. Maybe it was a change in your EHR or a change in your billing personnel, some point in time that you want to go back to. And if there isn't those changes, then you need to start looking at how far Medicare requires you to go back for those refunds and start preparing all of that information relative to the self-reporting that is required. And there are instructions on how to self-report. You want to read that. You may want to engage a lawyer, depending on the volume and everything that's surrounding that particular issue. And ultimately, you're going to start working with Medicare directly to try and give Medicare back the money that you've been overpaid, and try and work out an appropriate settlement before those get turned up in the chain to a more adversarial situation like Iraq, or worse yet, the OIG.
So if you don't discover that, let's say you have this TPE come in, you look at the claims, you don't really realize what's, you know, that there's any issue, and then Medicare does find the issue, do they just turn that over or make you or do a take back or turn you to a different auditor at that point? Or do they give you a chance to self-report at that point? Or do you know that?
So this is one of those issues that ultimately, as you look at anything, as you look at everything relative to the problem, if it is a one-off mistake here or there, then you've got the ability to make those corrections and move forward. If it is clearly a repetitive error that you've made, and you know that that is a compounded error going back, Medicare's TPE program isn't very clear as to what the MAC is supposed to do. But a 100% fail is a good indicator within the TPE that they know that this is a repetitive problem. So it's something that you would want to look at the potential of self-reporting as well as making the changes going forward with Medicare instead of waiting to see what Medicare is going to do.
All right. Ray, any questions, comments?
Mark, do they tell you the topic they're interested in, or do you have to discern that from the 20 charts they're asking for?
The letters are such that they tell you about specific codes, but because Medicare hasn't reviewed any of the records, they don't have much beyond that.
But they do tell you if they think you're submitting a wrong code or if you're submitting the wrong level, say for an E&M.
So you've seen Medicare letters before. You know that the information is not always as clear as we would like it to be. They may tell you specifically what code it is. So they may say, we see that you are in way above X with the use of this code. They don't tell you anything other than the data that caused them to trigger a discussion with you. So they're not saying, we think you're using this wrong. We think that you can't do this and this. They say you are an outlier of billing this combination of codes or this code. So it's a very high level piece of information that they give you.
That's good, though. They put you in the ballpark. I was in hopes they would at least tell you what you're after in an educational probe. That's good.
So they at least tell you what the data showed.
All right. Are you seeing an increase of these as you go around the country? Are there more coming? Is it about the same as it's been or fewer?
It seems to be a bit more recently, and I don't know if that is relative to the fact that they weren't doing a lot of this during the pandemic, and they're just starting up again. And so there's some issues that they can look at, or it's just that they've gotten to a particular spot that we're seeing some of these in urology. So, so I don't know if it's an overall increase or if it's just that we're seeing more of these because the items have come up surrounding urology just now. Then we didn't see a lot of these prior.
All right. And if somebody gets a letter, should they call you for your advice or what, contact you? Or what do you recommend if they get the letter?
So in the end, you do want to take a look. So I have a lot of people that contact me, and I'm happy to have that. If you guys have, if anybody has that, I'm happy to take a look, provide you some advice, or in fact, help you take a look at those records to see if there are issues before you send them in. And we do that quite frequently. So, but you can take this on yourself. If you've got your qualified coding staff in place and everybody's willing to take a step back, really take a look at what the actual documents are and what might or might be wrong or what isn't wrong. And certainly when you get into that second round, or after that first one comes back, if you don't agree with those findings, that's a point in time where you do want to think about the appeals. And if you don't have the arguments to make those appeals or those reconsiderations, that you can certainly contact us. And there we may give you the advice of putting a lawyer into the mix at that point in time. And we've worked with a couple of pretty good lawyers now. In the overall scope of things with all the RAC audits we're doing, which we'll pivot to in a moment. But there is a time when you definitely want to get some help, and you can certainly, you know, start with us, or if you've got a good contact with a legal team that has some coding expertise and experience with Medicare, that would be another route to go. So you got a couple options. But the TPE is supposed to be an educational one. You may not have to do anything with the first round, but in the end, it depends on what the issue is that they're targeting and whether or not you feel things are correct. And then the second level, once you get the information back, what do you do about it is another area where you may want to get some help.
All right. All right, that's great information on the TPEs. Let's move into the RACs.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about the RACs before, and I won't belabor this too much, but the RAC audits are definitely out there, and we're seeing a ton of them. There's a few targeted areas that are being explored by the RACs, and remember that the RACs, the recovery audit contractors, are independent entities. They are paid based on what they found that was incorrect. So it's to their advantage to look at higher dollar items. They're not supposed to look at E&M code levels as a specific target, but they are looking at things like PCRs and SNM, so sacral neural modulation. They're looking at place of service issues relative to things like PTNS. So there's a broad spectrum right now that they're reviewing, and everybody knows. Everybody should know that sacral neuromodulation was a big one because there's an NCD on what's required, and when you get a RAC audit, you want to make sure that you understand if there are LCDs or NCDs that are out there and that all of the information that supports the patient qualifying for an LCD or an NCD is submitted the first time through with that. And that may be more than just the claim that they're requesting, especially with sacral neuromodulation. You know, they may ask for a specific encounter where a sacral neuromodulation implant is being done, either as a test or as a final implant. And ultimately, what we found is sometimes the records of the procedure itself don't always include the supporting information that led the physician to decide that that was the appropriate treatment. So they may have to submit claims from their partners or from others in the practice or from earlier encounters that help demonstrate that you did indeed comply with the NCD or the LCD. So you do want to package all that information when you send it in the first time to avoid some of that. But again, if you don't, you do have that appeal process to try and add that information in the future. But it's just more time, more work.
Ray, comments, questions?
No, I think you've made it pretty clear, Mark, that you probably in an educational audit probably don't need to get a lawyer right away. But if you do find you've been submitting bad codes, you need to start the self-reporting process. My question is, if you find out you've been submitting, say, the wrong imaging code, and now you've been paid a lot of dollars that you should not have been paid, which is an issue that I dealt with many, many years ago, is there a lawyer that can help get you off, or are you going to have to pay back everything you've been overpaid?
I'd like to give you a hard, cold answer, but it depends. But for the most part, you are going to pay some money back, if not all of it, for those things that are incorrectly billed to Medicare when you've been overpaid. I mean, that's part of your contract with Medicare, and the Medicare administrative contractor's goal, as well as the RAC's goals. So a lawyer can help maybe work out a plan to help you essentially settle for maybe a little bit less. But in the end, there's money that's owed, and now you're in a different negotiating situation.
Well, it sounds
a lawyer can help tremendously.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds, and if you look at the RACs being independent contractors, that sounds like a little bit harder negotiation, since that's their livelihood as well.
Yep. All right. Definitely not a good position to be in.
Yeah, I was just wondering, is it worth the lawyer if it's cut and dry and you owe the money back? Is there a settlement that's worth hiring a lawyer? My experience in the past was probably not.
So it's always dependent on what it is and why it happened. Certainly lawyers, and I've seen this happen before, have done a great job of working through that process with Medicare and the Medicare payers, because in the end, Medicare needs healthcare providers. The MACs, obviously if they let something go for a long time, they don't want to necessarily have that egg on their face. So there are options that lawyers can assist with, maybe mitigating circumstances and those discussions, and certainly having those discussions with a lawyer under the attorney-client privilege is another thing that is very helpful. So there is utility there, but it really depends on the problem.
All right, and I'll ask the final question. It's the same question I asked on the TPEs. Can you help if they get a RAC letter? Should they call us? Should they call you? What's your recommendation?
So, yes, we can help. It may not be that we're the legwork across the board, but we can help you identify how bad the problem is, whether or not you need a lawyer. I now feel comfortable that I've got at least a couple of lawyers and some groups that can help with that, that I can refer you to, or I can help work with your lawyers to help figure out what you need to do and what the next steps are. So yeah, we can definitely help in those regards, and know when to reach out. Knowing when to reach out is a big one. So we can help.
And how much experience do you have personally with looking at all these RAC letters and audits?
I've forgotten how many I've looked at over the years. We've successfully argued some of them. And some of the groups that I'm working with right now would, are actually winning at higher levels. So it's a process, and it really is dependent upon the documentation, the intention, the treatment side, and really figuring out the intent of the rules that are surrounding what Medicare is supposed to pay. So there's some nuances that actually we can help navigate around, or we can work with legal groups to help figure out how to do that. And that's been the main focus with a lot of this, is not finding those obvious errors, but some of those things that Medicare is on the wrong side of a decision-making process. Those are areas where we can help. The other ones, we can kind of help make those decisions as to where you fit and what your next step should be. And we've argued some of these, and certainly been able to help legal teams bring settlements down significantly from what Medicare originally claimed. So there are options that are out there. It's just figuring out whether you should take them or not.
All right. Okay. Well, let's wrap this episode up here. I will remind you that, or actually I'll let you know that if you go to the episode page, prsnetwork.com/162, there is a link that you can send an email in if you want to get in touch with Mark and the consulting team about TPEs or RACs, or any other questions you may have for the consulting team. Just click the link, and you can send an email, and we'll get back in touch with you. We'll have that Mark or his team get back in touch with you on that. Also on the episode page, the registration links for the Urology Advanced Coding and Reimbursement Seminar are available. So those are live. You can register now. We have one coming up in December in Las Vegas and one in New Orleans in January of 2024. So we encourage you to get signed up and hear a lot of these discussions down live in whether it's up or down or sideways, I guess is irrelevant, but in Las Vegas and New Orleans. Okay, let's get some final thoughts on this episode. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, so basically, you know, any type of chart review is scary. And certainly it's, you know, it's a, you know, one of those things that's going to happen somewhere or another. It's a little bit more than a Medicare or a medical records review. So taking a look at everything, complying with the requests are important, because if you don't reply to the request, they automatically assume you're guilty and move you up the chain. So you do want to participate. You want to really be complete in what you submit. This is something that needs to be stop and take a look and really take your time, and because it's an important piece of the process that Medicare has in place right now. And either a RAC or a TPE needs to be treated with the same diligence to making sure you get the right information in. But I will say that the difference between a TPE and a RAC is significant in the overall goals. The TPE is not necessarily that a bad thing, but it is not necessary. It's definitely not a good thing overall, unless you've got that documentation, everything in place. And then the last thing I'll mention is with both RACs and TPEs and everything else, a compliance plan is a big help. So continual training, auditing, reviewing, setting up your shortcuts, and everything we've been teaching you about coding and reimbursement is an important part of that process. But the more you can formalize those things, the better off you're going to be if something comes your way.
Ray, final thoughts.
Yes. Pay attention. Know exactly what you're doing. And a second opinion is always good, particularly if you're talking about issues that you're not absolutely clear is what the problem is. So getting someone that's knowledgeable like Mark involved to read your letter and give you advice as to whether you should do exactly what you should do is important. We've looked at letters and said, yeah, cut a deal. We've looked at letters and said, no, you need to fight this. They're wrong. You're right. So get higher knowledge involved, a second opinion to look at it, because sometimes institutional knowledge is incorrect. And many times we found that RACs and outside audit or payer audits are incorrect. So get help, get the consultant, and then get the lawyer if you need it.
All right. Okay, we'll end this one here. Once again, we want to thank ModMed. And if you're in the market for a practice management system or an EHR, we encourage you to check them out. They do offer a discount for our listeners. If you go to modmed.com/PRS network, you can see what specials they have available for our listeners. All right, that's it. Take us out, Ray.
Happy coding.
Thank you for listening to the Urology Coding and Reimbursement Podcast, where we help urologists and their staff maximize income and efficiencies so there's time and energy for patient care and a happy life. Special thanks to Carl Painter for the music today. You can find his music on Spotify under his record label, The Juicery.